Welcome back into the program. It's Monday. We are past week 11 now in college football season, and it's great to be back on the program after a brief time off. And what a weekend it was in college football. There are plenty of storylines that we will delve into today. David Sears will be with me in a minute, but in case you were not anywhere in the United States, Alabama pulled away from LSU in the second half. They got a 38-17 victory. Third straight win over the Tigers for the Tide in what was an epic contest, and College Game Day was there, the entire hype machine. And as you probably know by now, Oregon was 26-20 losers to Stanford in Palo Alto Thursday night. We'll also talk about that game. Auburn continued to roll 55-23 over Tennessee in Knoxville. And another story I want to get Sears' take on as well in a few minutes. Vanderbilt just rolled Florida 34-17 in Gainesville. It's a black eye to Will Muschamp, and the Gators are on the verge, not quite there yet, but having their first losing season since 1979. So what's the future look like for him? We'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to start with Tuscaloosa. Where else in what was an epic showdown? Everybody knows the Alabama-LSU series and what it has become. The two played for the BCS championship 2 years ago. And I think, Sears, I think you would agree, LSU, they might have been weak at times this year, but coming into this game, this was going to be the strongest performance they put on the field.
It was a heck of a ball game for Alabama. We all knew the stakes coming in for the Crimson Tide. There was a lot of hype from LSU because they knew that while they probably weren't going to play for a national title, they still had an outside shot at a SEC title. And just the way they played, LSU gave them their best shot. Then that second half, the fake punt really just switched the momentum back to Alabama, and it was all downhill for LSU from there. Alabama scored on three of their four possessions in the second half, and the only reason they didn't score on the fourth is because they decided to take a knee.
Well, this game was certainly billed to be an epic game, and it was in the first half, as you mentioned, tied up at halftime. But now that it is over, do you think this is the biggest challenge Alabama will have or has had this year, or do you think the Auburn game and or the previous game against Texas A&M were bigger?
I think this was a unique challenge because Alabama had played a very soft stretch of their schedule. I think they had given up a grand total of 26 points total during the October stretch, and a lot of people were criticizing Alabama, saying it was a soft schedule. Alabama was a paper tiger. Well, they played a very legitimate contender with one of the best offenses they were going to face all year. They held that offense to 17 points. They were able to make them rush for negative 16 yards in the second half. They finished the game with four straight sacks of Zach Mettenberger. The defense showed that they are a very fierce defense, one to be feared throughout the rest of the season. I think that they still have another test with Auburn, mm-hmm. and if they beat Auburn, another test in the SEC media, championship game. But they keep the media and the pundits keep putting challenges and hurdles in front of Alabama, and they just completely destroy what's in their path. So I think Alabama like being told they can't do something and they'll lose. As AJ McCarron said in the postgame interview, they're a hungry team. They like being disrespected. It just fuels that fire.
Both quarterbacks had a good night. Zach Mettenberger was 16-23 for 241 and a touch. He had a couple that could have been intercepted that were dropped by the Alabama defense. A.J. McCarron was 14-20 for 179 and three touchdowns. And that leads me into my next question. Where does A.J. McCarron fall now in the Heisman discussion? We know Jameis Winston is obviously up there. Johnny Manziel, I think by default, is still there. Some people are putting Brett Hundley in there, and now with Marcus Mariota and Oregon's loss, he's kind of fallen back. So where does A.J. McCarron fit in?
I think A.J. is definitely in your top two for your Heisman. A lot of people consider the stats, but you look at A.J., all he's done is win this year, and the pressure that he is facing is way more than what Jameis Winston is facing down at FSU. Alabama is coming in as a two-time defending national champion. Everybody's giving them their best shot. Everybody's continually saying that this is the weakest Alabama's team in several years. There's no way they'll be able to repeat, and yet all they do is win. If I had a Heisman vote, I'd put AJ 1, Winston 2, and I'd still put Mariota 3 despite his bad game. So that's just how I would vote.
Well, let's move on now to the game with Marcus Mariota, and he really did not have a good game. Stanford bludgeoned Oregon for most of this game, and Oregon got a couple of breaks late. A blocked field goal that was returned for a touchdown, an onside kick that went their way, but it really was not as close as 6 points. But Stanford now making a statement. Of course, they would be undefeated had they not lost to Utah. But what do you make of Oregon? And now you look at the BCS standings. It's Alabama 1, Florida State 2, Ohio State 3, Stanford 4, and Baylor 5. Where does this sit now in the national race?
Stanford right now is regretting that they fumbled the ball twice against Utah and did not stick to the running game against the Utes. Had they stuck to the running game against Utah, they probably would have won that game. But instead, they decided to get cute and throw the ball more, and it backfired against them. Stanford is a legitimate team to consider for a national title, but when you look at the way the computers are set up, if Baylor wins out, Baylor has potential to jump Stanford if Stanford doesn't have an impressive performance down the road. Stanford still plays USC, still plays Notre Dame, and I forget their other Pac-12 opponent they have left, and then the potential for a Pac-12 championship game. So Stanford still can make some noise, and I think there's a very good potential that if Florida State or Alabama stumbles down the stretch, that Stanford can jump Ohio State and make it into the BCS championship.
You really think that can happen?
I really do. If you look at how weak Ohio State's schedule is, they really need Michigan State to win out and give them a kind of boost in the Big Ten championship game. But I just think that Ohio State's schedule is so weak right now. That non-conference was a joke. The Big Ten is such a joke that it's just not going to be able to help them.
Well, Auburn continued to roll with a 55-23 thumping of Tennessee, and this was in Knoxville. I think very impressive. Auburn had not won. They did win at A&M, but they had not played that many difficult road games to this point, and I think this Tennessee team was hungry. They have played better at home, as we all know, but Nick Marshall was brilliant. He put up 214 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns total as Auburn rushed for 444 yards. Auburn's rushing game is by far the best I've seen in the country. Now, the question is, can they continue to do that against Georgia and Alabama? But where does this Auburn team sit right now as they get ready for their perhaps two toughest tests of the year?
I think that the Georgia game will not be a tough test. Georgia's defense has shown they can't stop anything. Auburn's real test will be against Alabama. If Alabama can force them to become a one-dimensional passing team, that's been something that has not been proven yet by Nick Marshall, that he can win a game with his arm. I think Auburn has shown they can run the ball well, but they haven't had a game where someone shut down that rush and they had to throw it to win it. I'm interested to see what happens to Auburn if they get placed in that situation.
Well, and again, they have Georgia at home this weekend and Alabama at home in 2 weeks. They will have a bye in between. But I tend to agree with you. I think Georgia will not be that much of a contest for Auburn. But, of course, the Alabama game, I think they have a shot. That maybe all they have is a shot, but I do think they have a shot. And I'll know more. You know, I haven't studied the matchups yet, but we'll get into it more as it develops and becomes closer. Well, and then the final story I want to cover here, Sears, is Florida and what has happened to the Gators. They haven't had a losing season since 1979, and now if they do not beat either South Carolina or Florida State, neither of which seems very likely, they will have one. And they've had injuries. We all get that. But is Will Muschamp, is he to blame, though, somewhat for this epic collapse? And if so, do you think they make a change this year?
Muschamp is to blame to some degree. You have to be able to recruit depth, and with a university like Florida, there's no reason why you can't have a bunch of quality depth there. It's one of the premier universities in the SEC and in the nation. But they have not done a really good job of developing offensive talent. We've seen that now for 2 straight years where if Florida State or if Florida has an offense, they should be able to be a better team. The defense has been very solid. They just don't have an offense to go with it. I think it is probable that he will be out of a job at the end of the year, but I don't think it's likely. I think that Florida will give him one more year, but next year will be an incredibly hot seat that he'll have little room for error. It's a team that the fan base expects a lot out of and really wants to see championships, and they've gone now to see where they were the cream of the SEC, and now Alabama has completely surpassed them, and they're starting to fall behind in the SEC East now, to South Carolina, Missouri, and possibly Georgia.
So, if and just to underscore this, Vanderbilt had not beaten Florida in Gainesville in 68 years, and this is the first time in history the Commodores had beaten Georgia and Florida in the same season. Now, again, James Franklin has turned that program around, but if you're Florida and you get beat 34-17 by Vanderbilt at home, that is a serious, serious warning sign. And this could be a year, Sears, where we could see the Texas job, the USC job, we already know that job's open, and the Florida job all open at the end of the year looking for a coach. Those would be three prime positions.
Well, I don't think the Texas job is open quite yet. Texas still has potential to win the Big 12, win out. They only have a couple of hard games left. You really have to look at that schedule. Their biggest test will be at Baylor. But the way Texas has been playing of late, they should be able to do very well down the stretch. I think Mack will probably save his job for one more year. Next year will be a very difficult year for him. But I think that Mack Brown is safe. USC, a lot of people are going to say, why not just go ahead and give Orgeron the job? Because an interim coach doing something when there's really no consequences to his actions is different than a coach that is doing this day in and day out. So I don't think Orgeron will get that USC job.
No.
I really think
your
big candidates for that USC job are going to be James Franklin at Vanderbilt, where if he can do that at a private university in the SEC, imagine what he could do at a private university in the Pac-12. So I think that...
And Kevin Sumlin.
Kevin Sumlin has also been rumored for that job. I think Kevin Sumlin may be trying to parlay to an NFL game.
I think you're probably right.
So I think that he'll be safe, and we'll see if his name comes up when the silly season begins for NFL coaches being fired. But I really think that James Franklin is not long for Vanderbilt.
I think you're right, and I think Kevin Sumlin, much to the dismay of people probably in College Station, who may be listening to this and don't want to hear it, Kevin Sumlin, I don't think, will be there next year. And I don't think he will necessarily be in Los Angeles. I think you hit on something. He could be at the next level. But they're losing Johnny Football. And with Johnny Football, I think, goes Kevin Sumlin, because he will get some offers. Well, a great show, Sears. Good stuff, as always. And we will be back next week to recap Week 12. And by the way, Week 12 last year was when we saw Kansas State, Kansas State get beat by Baylor. We also saw Stanford upset Oregon. So could Week 12 be a bizarre week in college football? Has history to be, though. We'll see. Thanks, Sears.
Thank you very much, Bon.
We'll be back on Wednesday.